Hi, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom again. My name is Steve, and I am your host for this feature this month, Newsworthy Clips, where we're helping you update your English vocabulary with different news clips that we've taken from different sources, mostly from the United States. So we hope that your English can improve with those. In the studio with me is Pauline. Welcome, Pauline.
Great to be here again.
Yeah, glad to have you back. And Albert, welcome back.
Hey, I'm looking forward to wrapping up day three of Newsworthy.
Yeah, it's a good one. And we are on page 22 if you have your magazines in front of you. Before we get into today's lesson, let's jump back to day two on page 21 and quickly review something or a word that we found interesting and review that with our friends. Pauline, I'm going to ask you to go first.
Okay, well, one of the words we didn't hit on too hard yesterday, but I do really like, is the word subside, which just means for something to lessen. In the case of our article, they were talking about the symptoms of brain injury subsiding after time, lessening. Another way that we use subside, that I hear it frequently, is when we're talking about water levels. So if there's a flood, then you'll hear on the news the water levels are subsiding. You know, we're starting to see the flooding go away, basically.
Okay, good. How about you, Albert?
Just the whole article itself, you know, I mean, joining you guys yesterday on the program, it was really nice to just see how we went through the whole thing, where it's like, you know, the question of why are we even talking about this, or why is research even being done about this, and, you know, to Pauline saying, hey, you know, we just need more grace for ourselves when we recover from something, and also for when other people have gone through a traumatic injury, whether it be physical or emotional. So, you know, I'm really glad we have this article to share with all our students.
I agree. Those are some good points, that we need to be more gracious with ourselves and with each other when we go through a traumatic experience, whether it be physical or emotional. One thing that I found interesting was on line 6 on the right-hand column, when the author says, delicate dance of signals, and it's kind of a poetic way to say something to make her point, but I found that the word dance, if I were writing this, and it's a small thing, I probably would have put the word dance in quotes, because you're not talking about real dancing, so you're using dance in a way that you normally don't use it. But still, nonetheless, it's a very nice turn of phrase to help us imagine what's going on inside our brains, kind of a dance going on. It's kind of intricate. It's
beautiful.
Yeah, and it's in rhythm. There's like this rhythm going on inside our head with all these signals going on. So I found that interesting. Well, let's move on now to today's lesson. We're talking about air pollution, and again, I want to just throw this out there. Now you know what's coming. I just find it interesting, like all these studies that come up telling us something that isn't really earth-shattering, you know, like, okay, air pollution is bad for our health.
I think, no, I'm totally on the same page with you, but I feel like, you know, it's one thing where, like, hey, we don't know the extent to how bad or how much or what it affects. And, you know, more knowledge and information is, you know, just better overall.
That's why we have you here, Albert, to give us that perspective. Because I have the same perspective every time another report comes out. Oh, brain trauma is bad. Air pollution is not good for your health. So, but again, you're right. Learning new things about the intricacies of what's going on in our bodies and in our environment is a good thing. So let's open again our magazines, if you have them, to page 22 and learn about this study. Exposure to air pollution leads to accelerated buildup of calcium in arteries.
Study. Exposure to air pollution leads to accelerated buildup of calcium in arteries. Scientists have known for years that long-term exposure to air pollution raises the risk of heart disease. But a highly anticipated study led by a University of Washington, UW environmental health expert finally explains why. Due diligence research. In a decade-long analysis involving more than 6,000 people in six states, Dr. Joel Kaufman found that people living in areas with more outdoor pollution built up calcium in the arteries of their hearts faster than those who lived elsewhere. On average, we found a 20% acceleration in the rate of the calcium deposits, said Kaufman, 54, director of the UW's Occupational and Environmental Medicine Program. I would say the results are a little more clear-cut and dramatic than I expected when I started this. The $30 million study, funded by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the National Institutes of Health, is the largest to measure both metrics of air pollution exposure and health markers over time. The study, which tracked air quality in participants' communities, also measured exposure to nitrogen oxide and nitrogen dioxide and black carbon or soot, pollutants typically associated with traffic. Participants also visited study clinics multiple times to collect health measurements.
Okay, everybody, let's go into our lesson. We'll talk about the title first, Exposure to Air Pollution. Of course, air pollution, we should all know what that is. What are some causes of air pollution? Quickly, Albert, what's one cause?
Cars, smog.
Engine exhaust, right?
Right.
Yeah, engine exhaust. Another cause?
Factories. I usually think of factories belting out a lot of smoke and exhaust.
I think those are the two main culprits. The two biggest offenders are cars and factories. And they just spew out nitrogen dioxide and carbon dioxide and all these kinds of poisonous fumes into the air.
Right.
And we breathe that in.
Mm.
We breathe it in. If you are in a city or in an industrial area with factories, you're going to have more exposure to these things, and it's going to be bad for your health. Let's talk about calcium. What is calcium? I'm going to ask Albert.
Well, usually when I hear the word calcium, I think of it as a good thing, like when you drink milk. Calcium is good for your bones.
Mm-hmm. Good for your bones and teeth.
Yes.
Yeah, it's an element that we need for good health, right? It helps our heartbeat stay stable, and it helps with our muscle contractions. But here, it's a bad thing, right, Pauline?
Yeah. Now, to be honest, I don't know a lot about this, but my understanding is that when it gets in your arteries, which is obviously where your blood is flowing,
right,
that it is like a corrosive element that begins to build up in there and block the flow, which
is obviously
not a good thing.
Okay. Yeah, we might call it plaque, I think. That might be another name for it. P-L-A-Q-U-E, plaque, right?
Now, I have to say, I was surprised to find that we were talking about heart disease and our arteries in conjunction with air pollution. Maybe you guys, Steve and Albert, already knew that that was why air pollution was bad for us, is that it affected our hearts. It says at the beginning of this article that scientists have known for years that it increases risks of heart disease, but I didn't know that. I figured it was going to be a lung issue.
Okay.
That we were breathing in toxins that our lungs were going to be affected.
Mm.
I was surprised to read this whole article focused on its effects on our heart.
Very good. Yeah, I think most people are like that, it's lungs. We're breathing it in, and it's turning our lungs black, as if we were smoking cigarettes.
Right.
Yeah.
I think maybe the more severe areas where they have pollutions, that would really, affect your lungs faster, and it would be, the first thing that would come up in, decreasing your lifespan.
Okay. Yeah, there are people, and I know of people who have lung cancer,
right,
who are not smokers, but they may live in a place where there is a lot of air pollution. So, yeah, that is the first thing that would come to our mind, but it is surprising for some people that it affects our hearts and our arteries as well. Let's talk about why. Let's talk about the phrase due diligence. there on line 19. How about Pauline? What does that mean, due diligence?
Well, you usually use this in a technical sense, I think, when you're talking about studies or doing something in a very focused, precise way that you're just really taking care to make sure that you're not making any mistakes, you're not looking over anything, mm-hmm. you're diligently doing the task as prescribed.
Okay. Maybe in a informal way, we could say you're covering all your bases.
Oh, that's
right?
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Due diligence. You want to make sure. Or, and here's another thing. All of your ducks are in a row.
Yep.
Those are some slang ways to say due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're doing a research, medical research, you want to make sure all your ducks are in a row so that your findings are legitimate and that they'd be accepted by your peers. Pauline.
Sorry, it certainly does seem like they did some due diligence here. I mean, it was a decade-long analysis, so 10 years long with 6,000 people in six different states.
Good point.
A really large group and time period to be doing your research.
It's not just like this college student going out with a clipboard into the street and asking some questions, you know,
yes.
to 10 or 20 people.
Right.
And then it's over.
Right. I mean, for me, usually when I use or hear the word due diligence, I'm thinking about like detail-oriented. But here, it's not only that, but it's stretching on length and time. You know, it's quality and time together.
Mm-hmm.
So they're waiting it out.
Good. Yeah, and as you said, Pauline, it's a very long, decade-long, 10 years, 6,000 people in six states, and those people live in areas with more outdoor pollution. Those who did, rather, built up calcium in their arteries faster than those who lived elsewhere. So we knew that living in areas where there is a lot of air pollution is bad for our health, but we didn't know exactly why. And so this study tells us why.
Mm.
All right, next paragraph on line 25. Albert, would you take that, please?
Right. So, you know, we have Dr. Kaufman. He tells us, hey, it's a 20% acceleration in the calcium deposits. So we were talking earlier how you mentioned plaque, and it's going to be residing in your arteries,
mm-hmm.
which is not good at all.
Okay, and he says, I would say the results are a little more clear-cut and dramatic than I expected when I started this. So this even surprised the doctor who was doing the research, Pauline.
Yeah, well, that's nice to know since I was surprised that I was in good company.
Exactly.
But yeah, that is pretty dramatic. All right, 20% is a very strong number. We're not talking 5%, even 10%. You might have some people saying, well, did that really have to do with the pollution? Or maybe there were other factors involved. But I think once you get to a 20% difference, and especially when you're studying 6,000 people in six states for 10 years, and then there's a 20% difference, I think they can say, yes, this is clear-cut, it's dramatic. We can make a strong argument that it is the pollution affecting them in this direct way.
Right. It's clear-cut. It's obvious. And so, line 31, the $30 million study.
I was just going to say, and I'm glad they got a clear-cut answer because they sure put a lot of money into this study. So I'm glad after 10 years and $30 million that they didn't come away with a,
we're still not sure.
Work.
Yeah.
It might be.
Exactly. You know, I was thinking about this. That is a high number, $30 million for a study. But consider it is decades long.
Right.
And consider there are 6,000 people who probably are being paid, right? To have volunteers, how would you get that many people? You have to give them an incentive to go to the clinics on a regular basis and get their health checked to see if there is any difference.
Right. It's not like they're just filling out some kind of questionnaire every once in a while. My sister's part of a over a decade-long study of, I think it's just her age group. When she was in high school, she got selected for it, and she still, every two or three years, fills out a form.
Okay.
But that
she's
one's
in the big money, right?
No, that one's voluntary. That one's voluntary, but it's once a year filling out a questionnaire. We're not talking about going into a lab where you're having tests done on your body, which sounds like what was happening here.
Right.
So I do assume they would be paid.
I agree.
I mean, I remember in college, you know, where we were like, for like some certain courses, we were forced to like have a pager attached to us, and every time it would vibrate, we had to fill out like our current mood and stuff like that. So I'm guessing, you know, the people in this study probably had to, like Steve mentioned, like go to a hospital and get checkups, like monitors or exams on the internally, like what's going on. Mm-hmm. But I feel like conversely, like the number is significant, and how we got to that number, I'm pretty sure there was oversight, and you know, it's worth it in a sense. But what matters is, hey, this is something that matters to the government, to the citizens, and we just want to see how, like, hey, you know, we're here on Earth and we're polluting things, and it does affect humans and also probably nature as well.
Sure. It's the largest to measure both metrics of air pollution exposure and health markers over time. So this is a big, big survey, big research going on over a long period. So it's pretty solid, you know, and their findings are pretty solid. So I think the results are worth the money.
I think so. And, yeah. You know, I'm also curious to know for all of those people who did the study and participated in it, how is that going to affect their future health and their life? Because they've gotten to be privy to this knowledge now that they are maybe having some issues with carotid arteries. And I would assume that's the kind of thing that the sooner you realize that and realize how your environment's affecting you, the more quickly you can respond, right?
Sure.
So I also wonder, for those 6,000 people, how that's affected their lives, hopefully for the better, and being aware of their health.
Yes.
Well, and hopefully for the people surrounding them as well. You know, they're probably a sample size of like 1 in 10 in their area or whatnot. I mean, having your heart work harder is never a good idea. We find this in people who are overweight and whatnot. So this is something that people can address after knowing about it.
Yeah, so maybe in a sense that $30 million study didn't just produce results that now can inspire people to consider the effects of their environment on them. But during the study itself, it was already, I assume, inspiring that in the people who were being studied and those around them. So that's also a great result.
Sure, sure. The final paragraph on the left-hand column says the study tracked air quality in participants' communities. It also measured exposure to these pollutants like nitrogen oxide, nitrogen dioxide, black carbon, and soot. So all these different things. There's not just one thing in the air, unfortunately. There's a lot of nasty things in the air that we're breathing, and they're poisonous, and they're bad for our bodies. They're bad for our lungs, and they're bad for our hearts, and they're bad for our arteries. And there's even soot in the air. What is soot, Albert?
Soot is just any burn-off residual, I feel like. So, like, if you burn a piece of wood, you would have soot.
There's soot, sure.
Yeah.
Usually soot is in the chimney. It's this fine material that carbonized from the heat and so forth. And that we're breathing some of that in.
Right.
It's not good. But it comes from traffic, says the author. Engine exhaust also can come from factories. Participants also visited study clinics multiple times to collect health measurements. And this is what we were talking about earlier, where the participants, 6,000 people, would go in on a regular basis to these clinics and get checked up and see how things are going. Okay, let's move on to the top of the right-hand column on page 22 and finish today's reading, the results.
The results. The higher the concentrations of pollutants, the faster participants developed atherosclerosis, a condition commonly known as hardening of the arteries. Dr. Robert Brook, a cardiologist with the University of Michigan Health System, said the findings of the new study would be hard to overstate. They mean that air pollution is not just a trigger of heart attacks or strokes over a few days in high risk or sick people who would have had such episodes anyway, but it's also a cause of harm over years. Kaufman's research has implications for public health policy in the U.S. and abroad. This is a public health success story, Kaufman said. But the new evidence also shows that there's no safe level of pollution, no exposure that doesn't increase heart disease risk, he added. Even though things are clean and getting better, There's still more work to do.
Okay, $30 million is a lot of money, but with it we discovered that the higher the concentration of pollutants in the air, the faster participants developed problems commonly known as hardening of the arteries. And there's this big word that you probably will never use in your life. It's the first time I've seen it, but if you are in the medical profession, you might use it. It's atherosclerosis. Atherosclerosis. It's a tongue twister. But you should know the word sclerosis, I think. That's a good word to know. It means hardening. It means hard. So I have a friend who had scleroderma. And sclero is the hardening, and derma means skin. So dermatology, right? So their skin was hardened. It's a disease where the skin is hardened. We've heard of sclerosis of the liver, where the liver becomes hardened, right? And that's a disease that some people have, maybe when they drink too much. And so sclerosis is a good word to know. Well, this sclerosis has to do with our arteries. The problem is when people breathe in these pollutants, their arteries become hard, and they're not flexible, and they're not they lose their flexibility, and you need that if you want to be healthy. So that's one of the problems with the high concentrations of pollutants in the air. Okay, Pauline, how about line 5? Take us into this next paragraph, please.
Sure. So Dr. Robert Brook, the cardiologist, said that the findings of this study would be hard to overstate, or it would be almost impossible to exaggerate how important or how clear-cut these results were.
Mm-hmm.
It tells the medical community that air pollution isn't just a trigger. It's just not like the last straw that breaks the camel's back, we say in English.
Yes, I agree. On line, 7 and 8, they mean that air pollution is not just a trigger of heart attacks or strokes. I think we often look at the air index in newspapers or on the news. What's the air quality index today? Sometimes it changes. And if it's bad, people say, stay indoors, because if you go out, you might get sick. Well, the authors say, yeah, that's true, but you're going to be sick if you're exposed to poor air quality over the course of time. Staying indoors one day isn't going to save you.
Right.
If you're exposed to it over the course of time.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just bad for people who are already prone to having heart attacks, that it's actually going to be something that could make an otherwise healthy person if the direct cause for that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, Kaufman's research has implications for public health policy in the U.S. and abroad. I feel like that's an understatement. It has implications. What does that mean, Albert? What's an implication?
An implication is the effect of an action or decision that has something on something else in the future.
Yeah. So how would this have an effect on the future of, say, a government decision or government policy?
Well, hopefully it'll sway them in a positive way. Say, like, hey, here's some bad news. You know, when you're making regulations or policies in the future, maybe you could change it so it would, like, counteract.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have pollution that's caused by cars, maybe we can have electric cars.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, so it could affect different industries. It could affect companies and factories that produce air pollution to maybe force them to clamp down or reduce their emissions.
I mean, I think back in August, Denmark and I think Norway, they're two different countries, right?
Yes.
Yes,
yes they are. Okay. They announced that they are looking into policies. That's why I have you two here. They're looking. It was back in August. I can't remember that clear cut.
Okay.
But they're looking into policies to have non-gasoline vehicles be sold by 2020 or 2025.
Okay.
So it's really near in the future. They want to be like, hey, you know, we don't want you guys to sell gasoline-powered vehicles in our countries anymore.
Wow.
Electric only. Keep the gasolines that you have right now, you know, so we don't create more waste. but in the future going forward, this is what we want for our country.
Good. Yeah.
Interesting.
Sure. Well, new evidence also shows that there's no safe level of pollution, no exposure that doesn't increase heart disease risk, he added. And that's something that maybe we also learned through this $30 million research.
Right. So this, in addition to other research, you know, is helping us create a better future.
I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek, but of course, it's good. Yes, Pauline.
Now, the one question that I'm left with, especially now that I'm living in Asia and seeing lots of face masks, is I'm curious to know if they did any study or if they'll do any further study on how wearing a face mask can help individuals with this issue if they are living in a city that has a high level of pollution.
But are you seeing face masks when people are riding bicycles and riding scooters, or are you seeing face masks in the office or walking around?
No, usually I see it when I'm out on the MRT.
Oh, yeah. that's a completely different...
There's different things, and there's different qualities of face masks that would allow certain things. It's kind of detailed.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's kind of a big topic.
Maybe we can do that for another show.
We can talk about that.
Definitely.
A new teacher to face masks.
Good. That's a good question, though. We can talk about that more, hopefully, at another time. Right now, though, we're out of time, so we need to end here. But, friends, we hope that you can take some time today or tomorrow and review what you've learned today. Review the vocabulary-focused words. They're good words. They're words that you would hear in daily conversation in English. So, review those when you can. And we're going to stop, and we'll have another lesson for you next time. Until then, have a great day.